All right, be turning with me to the book of John, chapter 20. Again, John chapter 20 is where we're at today. Now, at our church, our home church at Heartland Baptist, over the last several weeks, we've been going over some of the events leading up to the cross. We didn't really follow each step of Christ to the cross. We just didn't really have time for that, but we did cover a lot of the high points of Jesus and the events that took place leading up to his crucifixion. And last Sunday, I'm sure you all did as well. We don't dwell on Jesus on the cross, but we do celebrate the fact that he gloriously rose again on the third day. And aren't you thankful for the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the fact that he had power over death, hell, and the grave. And he was willing to shed his blood for us so that we can be redeemed. I love that song that we sing. And the fact that we are redeemed tells us that we have been purchased with a price. And the price was his life, his shed blood. We are not our own, are we? We've been bought, and I'm so thankful for that. And then last Sunday, again, we celebrated his glorious resurrection and the fact that he had power over, again, had power over death, hell, and the grave. And when you think of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, I shared some this morning with our folks. When I was growing up as a kid, we were always involved in church, probably not as much as we should have been, but there is never a time that I don't remember being involved in one way or another in church. But growing up as a kid, I didn't really think about who Jesus really was. When I thought of Jesus, I thought of the baby born on Christmas Day. We were taught that and we believe that. But that wasn't the beginning of Jesus, was he? Jesus is eternal. Amen. And, you know, when we think I always think of it as a number line. Remember learning about number lines in school. And you think of the eternal nature of Jesus Christ, his eternal nature goes both ways. Now, if I think about that for very long, my mind starts to hurt because my mind doesn't work like I'm sure some of you all may have this figured out. But for me, it makes my mind hurt just a little bit to think about it, to think how he has always been. There's no beginning to Jesus. There's no beginning to the Lord. There's no beginning to God. There's no end. We are also eternal in our nature, but we have a beginning. I have an eternal destiny awaiting for me, and I'm so thankful because of the fact that I have been purchased by Jesus Christ. That eternal home is awaiting for me. He's gone to prepare a place for me, and that's where I'm going to spend my eternity. But I have a beginning. I had a hard time coming up with my beginning this morning. My wife was there to help me, thankfully. I got the right month, November. I was born on November the 12th, 1975. Anybody remember 1975? That was all the way back in the 1900s. That was a long time ago, right? 1975, I have a beginning, but I am eternal in the fact that I will spend an eternity somewhere, and I know my eternity will be spent in heaven with Jesus Christ. And we will all spend an eternity somewhere. But it's important that we determine where that will be spent today. But Jesus' earthly ministry didn't just begin on that first Christmas morning and end on the cross, or even end after his resurrection, because even after his resurrection, he didn't ascend directly up to heaven, did he? He spent time with us just a little bit longer. You think of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ was really very, very short in the span of time. If we think about how long we've been here, the span of time that Jesus took to perform his earthly ministry was very, very short. He only lived 33 years, give or take. His earthly ministry was just 3 years, maybe a little bit longer than 3 years. So he was here just a very short amount of time, but his earthly ministry didn't stop at the cross. It didn't stop at the resurrection. We know he stayed here how much longer? 40 more days. He stayed here 40 more days. And there's countless examples of folks witnessing the resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we look at the events leading up to the cross and then even after the resurrection, I wanted to focus just a little bit this evening, on one of my favorite apostles. One of my favorite apostles. And you think, well, who could it be? Thomas. Thomas, he said, well, how is doubting Thomas one of your favorite apostles? And many times when we hear of Thomas, and we know that he's one of Jesus' 12 apostles, he's referred to as doubting Thomas. One reason I like Thomas so much is if you rewind just a little bit and you go back to the time when Jesus and his apostles were returning to Bethany to see Lazarus raised from the dead. Everyone else said, Lord, we can't go there. Anybody know why? They'll kill us. They want to stone us there. It's not safe for us to go. But here we have Thomas. Not this Thomas, but the Thomas in the Bible. We have Thomas. He says what? Let us go and die with him. That's what Thomas says. Thomas was willing to follow his Lord and Savior to the death. And here, just a little while longer, as he's dealing and focusing on his grief of the death of Jesus Christ, we find him falling into doubt. And really, that's what I want to look at this evening, is the doubt that not only Thomas faces, but the doubt that we also allow to come into our own life as well. We often hear of Thomas, again, as one of the 12 apostles. And we refer to him as Doubting Thomas. And his name has become synonymous with skepticism. Are any of you guys skeptics? I am a skeptic. Many times people will tell me something. I say, oh, I don't believe that. And with AI today, you can't believe anything you see. You can't believe anything you hear. It's all false. And that's comes from my skepticism, but that's partially true. And we're known as skeptics. And one of the sayings that I use a lot is, I say, well, somebody will tell me something about somebody else, and I say, oh, I doubt it. And I do doubt a lot. Sometimes I'll even use the phrase, do they say when pigs fly here in Missouri? No, that means it's not likely to happen. You're skeptic. You're doubtful of the information that you're given. But Thomas was known as a skeptic. But here his story offers us much more than just a cautionary tale about doubt. It invites us to explore how doubt can lead all of us into a deeper and a more intimate faith in God. When we were in just a moment, we're going to read John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29, where we will see how Thomas's doubt leads to a great faith in Jesus Christ. John chapter 20, verse 24 says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Let's go to the Lord once again in prayer. Almost kind of gracious and loving Heavenly Father, again we come to you today just to thank you so much for the privilege that it is just to gather together to worship you in spirit and in truth today. Lord, just open our hearts as we receive the message that you have for us. Lord, just bless the reading of your word today. Lord, just help us in our times of doubt. Lord, just increase our faith. And again, we're thankful so much for the lesson that we have before us in the story of Thomas and how his doubt led him to great faith. Lord, again, draw us closer to you. Help us to see our faith also increased. And again, we just thank you so much for the wonderful love you displayed on our behalf on the cross of Calvary. Help our faith. Help us to share our faith with others. I pray that people can see you living within us today. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. And amen. We see, again, Thomas here, and we see how Thomas had doubts. Jesus knew all about Thomas. And when you think of Thomas and the fact that he doubted the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead, I don't know why all the apostles weren't sitting there at the side of the tomb on that third day waiting for him to rise, because Jesus tells us plainly that he had to die on the cross. He had to be lifted up, but he would raise again, victorious. That came as a shock for many of them. I find that hard to believe, but it really came as a shock for Thomas. Thomas says, I have to see it to believe it. Have you ever said that? That's something we all say. I'll believe it when I see it. And so a lot of times that involves a check coming in the mail or something along those lines. I'll believe it when I see it. That's what Thomas is saying. I have to see it in order to believe. I have to see the nail prints in his hand. I have to thrust my hand into the side of Jesus before I will believe. Here Thomas is dealing with his doubt. Really what Thomas is dealing with more than anything else is grief. And we've all experienced grief. My wife's sister just passed away a few weeks ago. And so one of the things that you know, we've noticed through this is one thing she put on Facebook, and many of you all may follow her, is people grieve in very different ways. And I believe we're seeing Thomas grieving over the death of his Savior, Jesus Christ. I think when Thomas closes his eyes, he can see Jesus, but he sees Jesus on the cross. Because he says, I want to see the nail prints in his hand. I want to see where the sword went into his side. That's the picture that Thomas had in his mind. After Jesus' resurrection, Thomas wasn't present when Jesus first appeared to the disciples. And the other disciples tell Thomas that they have seen the Lord. Thomas says, yeah, right, I don't think so. I'll believe it when I see it again. Thomas responds with doubt. He says, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my fingers where the nails were, put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And Thomas's action, or reaction, I should say, is often portrayed negatively. And it was kind of negative. But his doubt is a reflection of our human condition. We are skeptical people. Many times we face things and situations with skepticism. It's just a reflection of his human condition. Thomas is not unique, because we all struggle with doubt. We all struggle with doubt at some point, even in our journey of faith. When we think about our faith increases. As we serve the Lord, our faith increases as we go throughout this life and we experience different things and we see how God moves in our lives and we see how God's powerful hand has put us where we are today. God's powerful hand has put this church where you guys are today. You may even be doubting what the future holds, and you have no idea what your future holds, do you? None of us knows what's going to happen tomorrow. But we know that tomorrow is in the Lord's hands. We know that Northwood Baptist Church is in the Lord's hands. We all struggle with doubt in this journey of faith. But why is Thomas doubting? He wants assurance. Aren't you thankful for assurance? I like the fact that the Bible teaches us that we can have assurance as a believer in Jesus Christ. We talk about the unspeakable, the peace that passes all understanding as a child of God. And what is it that brings about that peace? I believe it's the assurance of knowing where our eternity will be spent. We don't have to worry about what tomorrow holds because we know who holds tomorrow. We know that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us and that he is also, what, coming back again to take us to where he is. And I believe this event is coming soon. I believe we are right on the cusp of the Lord's return. And I'm so thankful for the assurance that we enjoy and the peace that comes from knowing where our eternal destiny is. He wants assurance. Have you ever had to give someone assurance, and maybe you was trying to buy a car or you wanted to buy a house or something? They wanted a down payment, right? They wanted just a little bit of assurance to know that you're able to make this process happen. Thomas wants some assurance. He wants to know that what his fellow disciples are telling him is true. Doubt in Thomas's case wasn't necessarily denial, but a longing for certainty. And a longing for a personal experience with the risen Savior. He had been with Jesus. He had was a follower of Jesus. He was handpicked by Jesus Christ himself to be one of his apostles. But he wanted assurance and he wanted an experience with the risen Savior. With the risen Savior. When you think about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power is found in the gospel, and what is the good news of the gospel? It's the death and the burial and the resurrection. Thomas had experienced Jesus' death. Again, I believe when he closed his eyes, he saw the scars in his hand. He saw the scars in his side. He saw his Savior on the cross. He also experienced the burial. But he had not yet experienced the resurrected Savior. The resurrected Savior. He wanted to experience this. He wanted a personal experience with the resurrected Savior. And Jesus meets him where he is. I'm so thankful for the fact that Jesus meets us where we are. He was longing for that personal experience with his risen Savior so he could have that blessed assurance. I normally use a PowerPoint. I'm looking at my PowerPoint. It's not helping you guys any at all. But I am going through it up here. And one of the photos that I have on this PowerPoint is a picture of a songbook. And it's turned to page 244. I don't even know what songbook this is. But the song is Blessed Assurance. Blessed assurance. That first verse says, blessed assurance, Jesus is what? Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I told our folks this morning that a foretaste is not a word we use in our everyday vocabulary. What does that mean, a foretaste? It's just a glimpse of what is to come. The glory that is awaiting us in heaven comes from this blessed assurance. And Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. An heir of what? Salvation. Purchase of God. I'm redeemed. I've been purchased. You are a purchase of God. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Born of His Spirit. washed in his blood. Thomas wanted this assurance. We too want that assurance. And we can have that blessed assurance. Jesus meets Thomas where he is. We see a week later. Time goes on. It says in scriptures on the eighth day, Jesus appears again. This time, Thomas is present with the apostles. Jesus doesn't rebuke Thomas for his doubt. Instead, he meets him in the place of uncertainty. I think this whole encounter takes place all for Thomas's benefit. If you'll read in the scriptures that we read there in John chapter 20, it says all the apostles had met together, and they were in a room, and the door was what? The door was closed. The door may have been locked. I don't know. And how does Jesus enter the room? He just appears. He just appears. You think, well, how does that happen? I don't know. But he did. It's not the only time it happens. He just appears. And he appears for Thomas's benefit. He knew what Thomas needed to see. He knew what Thomas was struggling with in his personal life, in his thoughts concerning the death of his Savior. Jesus meets him where he is. Jesus doesn't rebuke Thomas for his doubt. Instead, he meets him in the place of uncertainty, and he invites Thomas to touch his wounds. And he also invites Thomas to believe. In verse 26, John chapter 20, verse 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. He came. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Peace is found in the presence of Jesus Christ. Then saith he to Thomas, the whole reason for the encounter, "Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands." How did Jesus know that's what Thomas was wanting? Because Jesus knows everything about us. He knows your needs. He knows where you are today. He says, "Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believe." Not only was this an invitation for Thomas to reach out and touch the Lord Jesus Christ, here, this is an invitation to believe. At some point, we all that know Christ as our personal Savior have experienced that invitation to believe. When I look throughout the congregation, I make assumptions. We shouldn't never assume. I assume that you all know Christ as your Savior, but maybe not. There may be a time, even right now, where an invitation is being extended to you to believe. Jesus may even be saying right now, "Come experience me and believe." Jesus met Thomas where he was. Jesus doesn't dismiss our doubts, because there's times when we are going to experience doubt as well. He understands our human frailty. You know, what's one thing that's so significant about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is that he left the splendors of heaven for me. I sing a song that says, "He left the splendors of heaven for me and took on the likeness of man." Well, what is significant about that? He's experienced everything you have experienced. He understands who we are. He understands our frailty. He understands our human nature. And yet he responds with compassion. Jesus invites Thomas to move beyond his doubt. Sometimes we have to move beyond our doubt. You think of what is faith. Faith is stepping out into the great unknown. Faith is moving past our fear. Faith is moving past our doubt. Jesus invites Thomas to move beyond his doubts, to move toward a deeper faith. Has your faith ever been increased? I think as we go throughout life, when we think of the transformation that takes place that we read about in Romans chapter 12, I believe that's a lifelong experience. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Our faith increases. We change. We're transformed. I hope that your faith is greater today than it was yesterday, and that your faith will be greater tomorrow than it is today. Jesus invites Thomas to move past his doubt, to move past his fears, and to move into a deeper faith. He offers Thomas the very evidence he sought. He goes, this is what Thomas needs. Jesus saying, I love you, Thomas. I'm going to show you what you want to see. And Thomas, as a result, is transformed. Doubt doesn't disqualify us from the love or the grace of God. Jesus meets us where we are in our doubts, and he offers us the opportunity for a deeper relationship with him. Some folks will tell you, well, we are to never question God. And there's times when I find myself questioning God. We think, well, God, what are you doing in my life? What are you doing in our church? You may be questioning God's plan even today. And what does questions allow us to do? When we question God, it gives him the opportunity to reveal to us his answer. When we have it all figured out, when we think we know what's going on, we don't seek his guidance. We don't seek his will. Sometimes our own insecurities and our own doubts and our own questions gives God an opportunity to reveal his true will to us. Doubt doesn't qualify us from the love or the grace of God. Jesus meets us in our doubt and offers us the opportunity for a deeper relationship with him. Amen. Thomas received that deeper relationship. You know, it reminds me also of the book of Mark. Mark writes in Mark chapter 9 and verse 24, he says, Lord, I believe, help my what? Unbelief. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Isn't all of us in that situation at some point? We believe. We believe the gospel. We believe that Jesus Christ is exactly who he says he is. But there's still times when we experience unbelief. There's still times when we experience uncertainty. There's still time when we experience doubt. But here we see Thomas's doubt brings transformation. Verse 28, John chapter 20, verse 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, what? My Lord, my God. That's a big step. That's a big step. Thomas had already spent years with Jesus. He heard Jesus preach and teach. He witnessed Jesus perform miracles. But still yet, Jesus wasn't his Lord. He wasn't his Lord. We can believe that Jesus is God. We can believe that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. We can believe that he rose again on the third day. We can believe he is our Savior. But that doesn't necessarily make him our Lord. There's a lot of things that can be your Lord that has nothing to do with God. Thomas saw Jesus, the resurrected Savior, and answered, my Lord, my God. Upon encountering the risen Christ. We all need to encounter the risen Christ. Thomas makes a profound declaration when he says, my Lord and my God. This moment of recognition isn't just an acknowledgement of Jesus and his divinity, but a transformation from doubt, from unbelief, from uncertainty to true faith. Thomas, his experience and his journey in faith sometimes mirrors our own, and it starts with skepticism. Maybe when you was younger, you even said things like, all those church folks, they don't know what they're talking about. I've got it all figured out. You met the gospel with skepticism. But at some point you realized that Jesus Christ is the true living Savior. When we encounter Jesus for ourselves, our faith can be transformed into something very personal, very profound. That's what we're seeing in the life of Thomas. Jesus goes on to say to Thomas, he said, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Again, remember, Thomas says, well, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, we don't have that option, do we? It says, because thou hast believed, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Well, who is that? Blessed are they. Who are the they? We got one they back there. There's two. We are those that have not seen, but still yet we believe. Belief without seeing. This statement highlights the blessedness of faith. We step out into the unknown. It's for those of us who live in this time after his resurrection. But even without the ability to see Jesus with our own eyes, we are blessed when we place our faith and our trust in him. Blessed when we place our faith and our trust in him. Our doubt, our questions can lead to a greater understanding. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. We hear that a lot. It can be really a catalyst for our growth in Jesus Christ. Again, sometimes we think we have it all figured out. It's hard to lead someone to a Savior who doesn't believe they even have need of saving. Save me from what? From your sins. Well, I'm not a sinner. Doubt, sometimes fear, will draw us closer to God. Our doubt can lead us to a greater understanding. When we question, we open ourselves to an opportunity for God to minister his truth to us. Our doubts, when brought to Jesus, can lead to a stronger conviction and a more personal relationship with him. I'm not saying that you are to live in your doubt. I'm not saying that we are to live in denial, but we can take our doubts, we can take our concerns, we can take our questions to him. And when we seek understanding, when we seek wisdom, I believe he will always be there to grant it for us. When we think about the doubt in Thomas's life, it led him to an invitation of faith. Maybe you're questioning how God is working in your heart and in your life today. Allow those questions to bring you closer to him. Take them to him in prayer. What is your relationship like with Jesus Christ today? What is your faith like today? Are you growing in faith? Are you experiencing Jesus Christ today? I hope and pray that each and every one of us know him in the free pardon of sin. But don't let your doubt separate you from God. Allow your questions to draw you closer to him. Won't we all stand? And we'll go once again to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind of gracious and loving Heavenly Father, again today we come to you just to thank you so much for all you've done for us. Thank you for the love that you showed us on the cross of Calvary. And Lord, we believe, but help our unbelief. As we struggle in this life, and as we struggle and in our journey of faith towards you, help us to draw closer to you. Help us to continue this process of transformation, to become more like you. Increase our faith. And in times of question, help us to take those questions. Help us to take that doubt to you in prayer. And as you reveal your will, your plan for us. Help us to have a willing heart, an accepting mind for what you have prepared for us. Thank you so much for your wonderful plan of salvation that involved your shed blood covering my sins. Lord, I pray that each and every one here knows you in the free pardon of sin, but if not, there's no better day than today. I pray your Holy Spirit convicts us all of our sins. And Lord, help us all realize that we have need of a Savior. Maybe there's someone who's been doubting their whole life, and you're offering that invitation of faith today. Give them the strength, the courage, and the wisdom to step out, receive your unspeakable gift even this evening. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen.